Issues Etc. regular guest Pastor Jonathan Fisk is the author of our book of the month for May, Echo, Unbroken Truth Worth Repeating Again. You can browse before you buy at issuesetc.org, or you can purchase Echo by calling Concordia Publishing House weekdays during regular business hours, 1-800-325-3040, 800-325-3040. The Issues Etc. book of the month for May, Echo, Unbroken Truth Worth Repeating Again, by Pastor Jonathan Fisk.
So tell me why.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're coming to you live this Thursday afternoon, May the 17th. We are going to spend some time with you, our listeners, via your email. That email address, talkback@issuesetc.org, or the Issues Etc. listener comment line, 618-223-8382. We leave that comment line open 24/7 for any kind of comment you want to make. If you listen, as so many of our listeners do, on demand and you're not listening to the live broadcast, you'd like to join the conversation with a question or a comment, add something or try and subtract something or give a show suggestion or a criticism, that's what it's for. 618-223-8382. And the same goes for our email address, talkback@issuesetc.org.
This will fall under the category mindless banter.
All right. Keep it short.
Don't mean to beat a dead horse here, but is Reba McEntire still Colonel Sanders?
No. They've moved on to the campaign now has who's the guy with the kind of epic tan?
George Hamilton.
Who's that?
He said George Hamilton.
George Hamilton is now Colonel Sanders.
Okay.
They move about every month or so, they switch it up. So George Hamilton is now riding a yacht all around the, I assume, the ocean as Colonel Sanders. He's extra crispy. That's what he calls himself. So
that's apropos.
It is. You got to admit they're clever. And every time I see one of those commercials, I run out and buy some chicken. Of course, I'm a big fan of chicken.
What do you usually order from KFC? Is it still called Kentucky Fried Chicken, or is it just KFC?
You know, that's a good question. In this day and age, probably just KFC. I think they probably officially changed their name. I'm stunned they're still getting away with a guy that looks like a plantation owner as their spokesman, even though Colonel Sanders was not a plantation owner. There's nothing, but I'm just stunned. Sooner or later, they'll go after the social justice warriors, will go after fried chicken too, and I'll be sad. I order nothing but dark meat. White meat is a waste of time.
Why is white meat a waste of time?
It has no flavor.
I agree with you. I just never heard it said in those terms, waste of time. I just got done with the conversation with Lord Fighting here about men reading novels being a waste of time.
White meat and men reading novels, I suppose.
You're reading not a novel, you're reading another Civil War, an audiobook, right? On the Civil War.
I'm reading Shelby Foote's massive
massive
history of the Civil War.
It's not an audiobook, you're reading it?
No, it's an audiobook. I don't read anymore.
Is he reading it?
It's read by a very good narrator. But I'm not sure who it is, to tell you the truth. I don't think it's the author. And it's great. You would not think that story of battle after battle and this general and that general could hold your attention, but it does.
I think Ken Burns's
TV document.
Yeah, Ken Burns's TV documents could work on radio. It's still footage. I think you could. I'd love to just not watch one of Ken Burns's documentaries and see if it still has the same impact.
I don't think you'd lose anything, to tell you the truth, the way that they put those together. But no, I'm reading that, and then I'm rereading. I say reading, listening. I got to commute. A book that this fantastic book that I've read now three times.
Is it a novel?
No, it's a book. Good. It's called Smart Baseball. It's about sabermetrics and the good and the bad stats in baseball.
Because we all know your dream job is to be general manager of the St. Louis Cardinals.
That would be a massive failure. I would be a massive failure because I know just enough to pass for a baseball fan. So
well, you would have put Adam Wainwright, Cardinals pitcher, on the extended DL a long time ago.
I would have put him on the DL before the season ever began, just in anticipation of his inevitable injuries and his advanced age. You get that old in baseball, just you should just be on the DL all the time. He can still sit on the bench. That's fine. Fantastic leader of men.
He is. A good Christian man, I understand, too.
Yeah.
Before we get to email, every week we give away the A Conference audio DVD from all six of the issues, et cetera, making the case conferences to the winner of a contest titled Issues, Etc. What Does This Mean?
This is Louise from St. Louis, and I have been housebound for the last 6 months due to chemotherapy and have had a lot of time to listen to Issues, Etc. I have chosen an acronym to answer your question. Issues, Etc. What Does This Mean? We should fear, love, and trust in Todd to bring us interesting, stimulating, strengthening, uncompromising, educational, scholarly, enlightening, theological, Christ-centered programs each and every day. Thank you, Issues, for being my soul therapy.
Louise, thank you very much. Thanks for listening to us as you convalesce there as well. We hope that your health definitely improves. I feel bad now having heard that because we just wasted 3 minutes in mindless banter, and here she is praising the substance of the program. So there's some irony for you. But Louise gets the audio DVD of all six of our Issues, Etc., Making the Case conferences. And next week, if time permits, we'll give another audio DVD away to another person who leaves the answer to the question, Issues, Etc., What Does This Mean? On the Issues, Etc. listener comment line, 618-223-8382, 618-223-8382.
And we send your mailing address to talkback@issuesetc.org, and Deaconess Fredrickson will mail you the conference audio DVD.
Do you feel like I do the last 2 days? Lynn has been out of the office for the last 2 days. Is that right? It seems like longer. It seems like maybe 2 weeks she's been out of the office. And things just don't run very well around here without Lynn making sure things... The phone goes unanswered. It just rings and rings and rings. We're waiting for Lynn to answer.
Right.
I don't know. I feel like maybe the whole operation might fold up suddenly. Or the lights go off or something. I think we need Lynn back.
Lynn, we miss you.
We do.
She is serving our church at large, attending meetings as a board of regent at Concordia University, Wisconsin.
Oh, she is.
Yes.
Got some stuff to deal with up there. So, but if there's anyone who could deal with stuff, it would be Lynn.
By the way, my son attends Concordia University, Chicago. Go Cougars. He just texted me, and I'll go get my phone. They're in the postseason tournament, whatever that's called, for baseball. They were down by like 3 or 4 runs going into the last inning and came back and won today. I think they made it to the College World Series last year.
Really?
Yeah, Concordia, Chicago.
Wow.
And I know they're ranked number one in their region this year, but I'll get my phone and...
So they're still in it.
Oh, yeah. But they came from behind, a miraculous comeback today for the Concordia University Chicago Cougars.
Good news.
Very good news. How about some email?
Yes.
No more mindless banter?
I dropped my highlighter, and I think I might have marked myself.
Well, excuse me. As long as you didn't... Mark the carpeting, because you know our carpeting's in great shape around here.
That's what I was doing. I was trying to shield the carpeting.
Can you imagine what our carpeting would be like were it not for the cleaning authority? Because we would be going on 10 years without vacuuming this place.
I don't have to imagine. I can remember what it was like before. It was disgusting. Still is probably disgusting underneath the thin veneer of clean that's there.
Mark listens in Kearney, Nebraska, and he writes, I was listening to your feedback listener email segment from May 9th of 18. Well, thanks for listening, Mark, because you're one of two people who do listen to listener email segments. Thank you. I have a question. When Jesus says that he must return to the Father before sending the Holy Spirit to create faith, then, one, how did people believe prior to giving of the Holy Spirit, faith being given? I thought that the only way to believe in God is through faith. Abraham believed, and it was counted to him as righteousness. Two, didn't Jesus give the Holy Spirit when he met with his disciples after his resurrection? Jesus breathed on them, received the Holy Spirit. Three, I have heard some translations state that when Jesus gave up the ghost, he was literally giving the Holy Spirit. I heard this from a couple of LCMS pastors. So I don't understand. Can you please help me clear this up? Thanks for the email and thanks for listening in Nebraska, Mark.
So this is what we need to understand about the gift of the Holy Spirit. God never gives anything in half measures or parts. So when we see the Holy Spirit being given, the Holy Spirit is being given. Now, the work that the Holy Spirit may do when given differs from time to time. So that's how we distinguish between these various things. There is the giving of, let's work back from Pentecost, and since Pentecost is upon us here. The giving of the Holy Spirit, the promised Holy Spirit, as Jesus will call him in the Gospels, this is the pouring out of the Holy Spirit prophesied by the prophet Joel, where now the Holy Spirit isn't giving only to some, but given to all. It's poured out upon the whole world. That doesn't mean everyone receives the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit begins his work in the whole world. To this point, the Holy Spirit had limited his work to a single people and to those who were incorporated into that people, into that covenant people of the Old Testament. As far as we know, there's no promise that the Holy Spirit would work outside the covenant and the word given to the people of Israel, to the ancient people of God. So what happens at Pentecost is the Holy Spirit is poured out and is accessible to all nations through the preaching of God's word, law, and gospel. That's what happens at Pentecost. Is the Holy Spirit at work before that and given before that? Well, certainly he is. The Holy Spirit is mentioned many times in the Old Testament, given to prophets, to various people. Everyone who believed in the true God in the Old Testament believed solely by the work of the Holy Spirit. There is no faith, be it the ancient faith that anticipates Christ's coming, or the New Testament faith that looks back on Christ's coming. There is no faith apart from the work of the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is at work there as well. You talked about the Holy Spirit being... So yes, if anyone believes before the day of Pentecost, they are believing by the work of the Holy Spirit. Now notice, it's limited there, as I said before. At Pentecost, it is now opened to all nations, as Christ then commands his disciples to go and make disciples of all nations. What about the giving of the Holy Spirit to the disciples on Resurrection Eve, John chapter 20? There again, just because he's given the Holy Spirit before doesn't mean he can't give the Holy Spirit again. And here it is. He breathes on them and says, "Receive the Holy Spirit." There's no doubt about it. He is giving them the Holy Spirit. And then he says, these words are important, "As the Father has sent me, so I send you." And he gives them the authority to forgive sins, which is the primary work of the Holy Spirit. So the disciples there, in this case, the 11, are given the Holy Spirit and sent, specifically commissioned to go and forgive sins in Jesus' name. See how the work differs here? Because just because someone has received the Holy Spirit and has been given faith by the Holy Spirit doesn't necessarily make them an apostle. But this giving of the Holy Spirit does make, along with Christ's call, does make these 11 his apostles, his authorized representatives in the world. And then, of course, you had mentioned the crucifixion, where when Jesus dies, it says he gave up his spirit. And he even says it, the words, "Into your hands I commit my spirit." Now, what's happening there? Well, he is actually dying, yes. But I don't think the Lutheran pastors that you have had conversation with are far off the mark when what the Gospels writers want us to understand is the very Spirit of Christ is now, it's still in an anticipated form. It's going to await his resurrection and the promise of the pouring out of the Holy Spirit. But now the Holy Spirit is handed from Christ into the world. So I don't think any of those actually rule out any of the other ones. Either the Old Testament faith, wherein people believe solely by the work of the Holy Spirit. If you want to go farther back, you can even go to the work of creation where the Holy Spirit is mentioned as hovering over the waters, brooding over the waters. The Holy Spirit is constantly at work in the world. The difference here, the distinction here, as I said before, is not that the Holy Spirit isn't sent. It may be limited to a certain people, as it was to those in the line of the covenant and the promise of Abraham. People outside that bloodline can be incorporated in by entering into that covenant. They receive the Holy Spirit as well. Or it may be broadened out to the whole world, but the distinction between these givings of the Holy Spirit is not in the measure of the Holy Spirit or whether or not the Holy Spirit is there, but simply in what the Holy Spirit works, what the Holy Spirit does when he is given. Now here in the New Testament era, the Holy Spirit is sent out through the word of God's law and gospel to bring all to faith. We'll be right back.
LCMS Disaster Response provides guidance and assistance to congregations who seek to proclaim the gospel and show mercy in the wake of disasters. We can bring capacity to your congregation through on-site assessment, volunteer training and congregation preparedness, and through grants direct to your congregation. For more information, follow us on Facebook, keyword LCMS Disaster Response, or visit our website at lcms.org/disaster. That's lcms.org/disaster.
Memoria Press now offers 6 levels of the Simply Classical curriculum for students with special needs. These full-year curriculum packages for children with learning challenges enable you to teach reading, writing, arithmetic, art, poetry, science, history, Latin, literature, and Christian studies with incremental classical methods. Visit classicalspecialneeds.com and enter promo code LPR17 to save on resources for your home or school.
Risen Savior Lutheran Church, Basser, Kansas. Located just right outside the northwest corner of the metro Kansas City area, we have a growing congregation of people who come from over 13 different communities to see what God is doing here, who desire to only believe, teach, confess, and practice as the church always has. Risen Savior, Basser, Kansas. Check out our website, risensaviorlcms.org.
An average of 20 military veterans kill themselves every day. Project Operation Barnabas is a network of LCMS congregations who reach out to veterans and their congregations and their communities with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Operation Barnabas is a program of LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces. Find out more at lcms.org/armed forces. Serving those who serve. LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces. lcms.org/armed forces.
We're supported by listeners like you. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Many Lutheran pastors outside of the U.S. receive little or no seminary education. Luther Academy provides theological triage through conferences, books, and journals. Help support Luther Academy by making a tax-deductible donation at lutheracademy.com or call 260-452-2211. Serving Lutheran pastors to the ends of the earth, Luther Academy. 260-452-2211 or lutheracademy.com.
The Christian faith is not boring.
Pastor Jonathan Fisk talking about his new book, Echo, Unbroken Truth Worth Repeating Again.
The Christian faith is so stunning and radical that it's amazing to me that we have our children sitting in pews and classrooms yawning and bored with it. And all I can do is say that we've got to figure out a way to repeat this thing, to echo it again, and really reawaken our imaginations to its truth.
Learn more about Echo by Pastor Jonathan Fisk at issuesetc.org.
Text me, send an email, link me up, give me a call. I'm ADD on AOL and trying to read the writing on the wall.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. We're going through listener email and the Issues Etc. comment line live this Thursday afternoon, May the 17th.
I know you were waiting for this vital information, but this is the text message from eldest child number one, Justin Jeffrey Schwarz. Concordia Chicago baseball was down 12-8 going into the bottom of the ninth. They scored 5 runs in the bottom of the ninth to beat Bethany Lutheran College.
Another Lutheran College.
ELS.
Man, this is some high scoring baseball there.
Yeah, I wish Cardinals could hit like that.
You sure this isn't like slow pitch softball?
Yes, yeah, right, exactly. Don't give me. I wish you wouldn't have gone down that path.
Okay, I take it back.
Okay, good. Because we probably shouldn't go where I want to go. Jennifer writes, Israel is surrounded by countries that are of the Muslim faith. Those of the Muslim faith are called to attack and get rid of the infidel. Israel is a great ally to the West and anyone that is not of the Muslim faith. Am I wrong in any of this? She's responding to your interview yesterday with Aaron Wolf of Chronicles magazine about the relocation of the U.S. embassy in Israel to Jerusalem.
And it may be in particular to an observation I made at the end of that interview, which was just kind of a geopolitical nature, which is I do understand that Israel is considered a strategic ally, if only by virtue of its location there, as you're quite right, kind of in the middle of the hornet's nest of worldwide Islam. But that location also, and its vulnerability being completely surrounded by Muslim majority nations, most of which are not friendly to Israel, even if they may be friendly in some strange sense to the United States, like Saudi Arabia, makes it an ally that we really can never employ. We can be an ally to Israel. We could certainly act in their defense from their Muslim neighbors or whoever else may attack them. But they can never really act in our defense because it would be considered so outrageously provocative. So it's an ally we can never employ. Now, I don't know to what degree we employed, it's probably unknown and probably will remain unknown, to what degree we may have employed Israel as an ally during the various Gulf Wars that we fought over there. But we certainly weren't talking about it. We might have been flying over the country, but that wouldn't necessarily get us very far. And that my comment there had to do with the fact that if we just want to talk about the political argument for Israel as an ally, which I don't disagree with, I don't know enough about the region to say anything definitive, it seems like an ally we can never really use. It's like having, this is a terrible analogy, but it's kind of like having the loaded shotgun hanging over the mantelpiece that you can never take down and shoot. And so what good does it do you? Except perhaps to simply irritate those neighbors there. What I think a far more important point that I think we made with Aaron Wolf is that the theological reasons for considering Israel a natural ally of the United States are entirely unbiblical. They have a biblical veneer to them. They sound biblical, but they are not. They are rooted in a kind of Christianity that is deeply flawed in the way it reads the Bible and replaces Christ with Israel as the sum and substance of biblical prophecy and kind of the point of the Bible. So what we don't want to do is, you may believe for political reasons that Israel makes an excellent ally over there. I happen to disagree, not because they may not be friendly to us, but because what good do they do us in the geopolitics over there? But don't make arguments as a Christian that the Bible somehow describes or recommends a natural marriage of allies between the United States and Israel. There are two flaws to it. One is the way that it reads the Bible with respect to Israel, and the other flaw is the Bible has nothing to say about the United States of America whatsoever.
Hi, pastors. We just yesterday, Sunday, had Comfort Dog at our divine service, and the sermon was all about the Comfort Dog. And I just didn't think that that was appropriate to have that in a divine service. Maybe at a Lutheran school assembly, a comfort dog. But in divine service, it just didn't seem Lutheran. So I would like, Pastor, to maybe comment on that. I'm a little confused. Thank you. Bye.
And thank you very much. Well, okay, I have to preface my comments here by saying I'm an animal lover. I love all animals. I love dogs. A dog sleeps in my bed every night. I wake covered in dog hair because I love dogs so much. The first living creature that I pay any attention to every morning, I get up far earlier than my wife, is my dog. She gets my attention and my affection. She gets fed. She gets let out. I don't even pour a cup of coffee before that happens, even before the cat. So I am a great dog lover. As to the question of whether or not, let's deal with two issues, whether or not a comfort dog, and here we're talking about Jeff, how would you describe the comfort dogs? What are they? They're kind of like
a lab?
They're
a golden lab?
They're trained dogs that are there to, like, if you've had experience with the comfort dogs with your son when he was going through the Moya Moya.
Oh, okay, yeah, but I was thinking of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod.
The comfort dogs go all over the place, right?
Justin at Boston Children's Hospital was clearly dealing with heterodoxe comfort dogs.
They were Roman Catholic comfort dogs.
Yes, they were Roman Catholic comfort dogs.
But that's okay.
So you confused me. You threw me for. I thought we were talking about Lutheran Church Book of Concord comfort dogs.
Yeah, I'm not going there. That's the third rail of theology in Lutheranism. I'm not going to criticize the comfort dog program. I just want to talk about what they're dogs that are trained or maybe not trained. Who needs to train a dog to come in and sit on your lap and be nice to you? They kind of naturally do that. But they come in and like in the case of Jeff's son, he had had brain surgery. They brought in the dog. The kids fell in love. Jeff ended up buying a dog. After, didn't you?
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm stuck with a Labradoodle.
Because the comfort dog was a Labradoodle.
I held out with the other six family Schwarz members for about 6 months. I was about ready to be kicked out of the house by each and every one of them. I finally caved in. We still have Arthur.
So, these are dogs that are brought into situations of distress, of trauma. You'll see them after the gun scares and things like that. So they're kind of a general way of going into community. People need someone to lean on. They need some comfort, and a dog offers that. They go into nursing homes. They go into hospitals. They go every place. There's nothing wrong with taking these dogs to offer the kind of affection, warmth, and comfort that kind of companionship can give. Now, that's the first issue. Does the dog belong in the divine service? Well, I guess if someone needs a comfort dog in the course of a divine service, we've certainly had dogs in our church service, not as features of the service, but as aids to people who are worshiping with us. So there may be a dog that is a guide dog or a dog that is a, they make dogs for people who fall easily. They make dogs for people who need to have warnings about diabetic trauma and things like that. Bring them in the church. They belong in the church. Let them sit in the pews. No problem whatsoever. If they're there as the point, now I'll just take your word for it, that the sermon was about the comfort dogs. No sermon should be about comfort dogs. Sermons should be from the Word of God and should be about Jesus Christ and His work for sinners. That's what the sermons should be about. Now, I'll just spin out the scenario. If your pastor happens to be blind and he needs a seeing eye dog, then that dog better be with him in the pulpit so he can find his way out of the pulpit and back to wherever he can safely sit. The point is not whether there should be animals there. That's completely irrelevant. The point is, what was being preached and why was the dog there in the first place? Was the dog there as kind of showcasing a program of dogs to offer comfort in which the sermon kind of got hijacked to talk about the program rather than about Jesus Christ? That shouldn't happen. I don't know if that happened in the case that you're describing here. Or if it's a stunt. I'm not speaking here about your case. I'm just simply saying a lot of foolish things happen in churches every day. Pastors try and ride their motorcycles into the church. They try and play basketball in the church. There are a lot of stunts going on Sunday morning. The divine service is no place for stunts or gimmicks or distractions. We are distracted enough by our own selves. We don't need any further distractions to take our minds away from the point of what Christ is doing in the divine service. Those are my thoughts on the comfort dogs. Love me some dogs. Like I said, they're great, but they're no substitute for Jesus. We'll be right back.
Thanks to generous supporters, tuition for all incoming residential pastoral ministry and deaconess students at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, will be paid in full. Hi, this is Dr. Lawrence Rast, president of Concordia Theological Seminary. Learn more about studying for the vocations of pastor or deaconess in the 2018-19 academic year at ctsfw.edu.
The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod celebrates and affirms life from the time of conception until natural death and every time in between. For this reason, LCMS Life Ministry is a program singularly devoted to upholding the sanctity of human life, both in our church body and the culture at large. Life Ministry provides educational materials, hosts conferences, and works closely with allies such as Lutherans for Life. For more information, visit lcms.org/life and follow LCMS Life Ministry on Facebook.
Luther had Wartburg. We have Collinsville. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Do you find yourself fixing the theology on store-bought greeting cards when you give them to friends and family? Put away that Sharpie. Edgruesome.com has greeting cards, art, jewelry, certificates, church banners, housewares, and all sorts of fantastic gifts that proclaim Christ crucified for us. Whether you're a value shopper or a collector, you'll find something at Edgruesome.com. That's ADCRUCEM.com.
Right now, many churches are planning their budgets for the next fiscal year. You can promote your confessional Lutheran church and support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by joining our congregational sponsorship program, the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to include $1,000 in their mission or advertising budgets. You'll find an informational flyer on the support page at issuesetc.org. Don't miss your congregation's budget deadline, the Issues Etc. 300. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for May comes from one of our listeners' favorite guests, Pastor Jonathan Fisk. His latest book is called Echo, Unbroken Truth Worth Repeating Again. If you catch kind of the play on words that is in the title there, you may have an idea of what this book is all about. The unbroken truth are the simple truths of God's Word. The truths that we confess in the Ten Commandments, the Creed, the Lord's Prayer, that's what the book is about. Although when you read it, you're going to get Pastor Fisk's particular take on those things. He likes to play around with the language a little bit while keeping the truth unbroken. Find out more about Echo, Unbroken Truth Worth Repeating Again at our website, issuesetc.org, or call Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040.
Lots of feedback on our recent interview with Dr. Thomas Korchak of Concordia University, Chicago, on shopping for a school. We don't have time to get to all of them, but here's one. Great interview with Dr. Korchak this week. Around these parts, pastors and principals hand off the teaching and preaching of God's Word to skits performed by students. I wonder if these same pastors and principals and teachers would be content if the heart surgeon handed off the scalpel to little 12-year-old Sally May because it will help foster leadership and because she looks so cute in hospital scrubs. Thank you for the sanity and wisdom Issues Etc. provides.
We have strayed so far from not only good practice when it comes to these things, but even from common sense when it comes to these things. And I will I level these criticisms as one who was kind of thoroughly subjected to them as a child growing up in the Lutheran school system, to some very good stuff, but also to some of this, and who in my younger years, not as a pastor, but in my high school and college years, participated in a lot of this kind of nonsense. I think your analogy, although some might balk at it, is apropos. And that is, what are we doing thinking that we can, and we're talking here about corporate worship with a school's, the student body of a school, and we gather them for chapel around God's word. What are we doing there? Are we trying to teach little lessons, or are we actually gathered around Christ through his word? And therefore, we are, I think what Dr. Korchak said was, we are catechizing toward the divine service. It may not be the divine service. It may be a prayer office or something like that, or simple devotion, but we are catechizing toward the divine service, not away from it. So when we introduce these practices, like kind of handing chapel over to the students to do a little skit, there are several problems. One, these skits often simply become little moral life lessons, and Jesus gets lost in the shuffle. And the bigger problem is, we are laying a burden upon these students that they simply have not been prepared or called to do. We don't make students who ought to be hearers and learners, teachers and preachers. And that's what we're doing there. I can't put it any simpler. We're laying upon them a burden and a task that they have not been called to do. Can they witness individually to their fellow students? Of course they can, but not to lead the worship of the student body. That belongs to people who've been called to do it.
Hi, my name is Jody, and I wanted to leave you with some good news about the whole scouting situation in our nation right now. There are two amazing alternatives and better choices for our sons and daughters. One, for our sons, is Trail Life USA, and for our daughters is American Heritage Girls. As a matter of fact, about 5 or 6 years ago, I don't remember exactly, but the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod signed a memorandum of understanding with the American Heritage Girls, saying that that was a better choice for our daughters because it is a faith-based, Christ-centered scouting program for our girls. So American Heritage Girls and Trail Life USA, letting our girls be girls and our boys be boys, and doing things that are biblically based and absolutely wonderful for our kids. Thank you.
That's good to hear, and thank you very much for that information. There are people both inside and outside the church who are concerned about what is happening in scouting, and their concerns aren't simply, well, when I was in the scouts, it wasn't like this. Their concerns go far deeper. They're far more substantive than that. Have we turned the scouting programs into essentially social experimentation, and who are the guinea pigs? Who are the lab rats of that experimentation? The scouts themselves. That's a breach of trust with the parents who say, yeah, you can watch our kids. Look, it's hard enough for parents to drop off their kids at school and other places where they entrust others to both protect and watch and teach and help form their children as citizens. We should not, as parents, have to question whether or not, when we are entrusting our children to someone else, that they're being experimented on to the very core of their ideas and their values and their beliefs, and being subtly or not so subtly indoctrinated into, well, let's just call it what it is, perhaps the tail end of the sexual revolution and the beginning of the new gender revolution. Friday on Issues Etc., we will review the movie Coco with Pastor Ted Geese. It'll be This Week in Pop American Christianity with Pastor Chris Shrosbro. And as usual, we'll play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234.
You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
How was school today, kids?
Crazy! Hector's charioteer got hit by a stone, and his eyes fell out into the dust before him there at his feet.
Sounds like Patroclus was being hot-tempered, rude, and quarrelsome again.
He always is. Dad, what's for supper?
I don't know yet. Supper is such a problem.
If it's a problem, you can use the scientific method to figure it out.
Problem? We want supper. Hypothesis? I think Dad will make tacos.
Actually, I was thinking about spaghetti.
Tacos or spaghetti?
False dichotomy.
Is this the after-school conversation of your dreams? Registration is now open for the 2018-19 school year at St. Paul Lutheran School in Hamel, Illinois, the only classical Lutheran school in the St. Louis area.
Hey, Dad, how did my violin practice sound?
Kiddo, it sounded epic.
Learn more at school.stpaulhamel.org. School.stpaulhamel.org.